If you can recollect, the Indian Foreign Minister S. Jaishankar visited Russia from December 25th to 29th. In this video, I'm going to decode the Indian Foreign Minister S. Jaishankar's 5-day visit to Russia. What was his purpose and what must have been discussed that could turn out to be beneficial for both India and Russia? As a cabinet minister, he even had a direct interaction with Russian President Vladimir Putin, which, if you see, is not part of the protocol. As per diplomatic protocol, a country's president, who is the supreme head, usually does not have one-on-one interactions with cabinet ministers of any country. I'm not saying that it does not happen at all. I'm saying such meetings are very less common due to the hierarchy and workload involved. Usually, cabinet ministers would interact with their counterparts. And even if a cabinet minister is seen talking to any president, it is usually an informal interaction during social events, receptions, or brief encounters at summits and international conferences. This is called informal interaction. It is not a structured meeting. But if you look at this picture, it is not some social event. It is a direct one-on-one conversation between the Indian Foreign Minister and the Russian President. Vladimir Putin is seen talking directly to the Indian Foreign Minister. This is a structured meeting, a formal setup. It is a rare sight for a direct meeting. This happens only when there is something very important that needs to be discussed. Number one, something that needs immediate presidential attention. Or number two, maybe the cabinet minister is on a special mission where he is carrying a personal message from the Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi. And there is also a third reason, when the relationship between two countries, in this case India and Russia, is so strong and personal that the presidents of both countries may choose to have regular one-on-one meetings with any of the cabinet ministers as a friendly, warm, welcoming personal gesture. And by the way, this is something that the Western countries are closely observing. So what is it that the United States and the European countries are observing? I'll keep it very objective. Number one, they must be observing India's role as a peace broker since India has excellent ties with Russia and also somewhat friendly relations with Ukraine. So United States and Europe are perhaps thinking that India can play a contributory role in peacemaking. The reason I'm saying this is because if you see, the war in Ukraine has reached a state where neither side, be it Russia or Ukraine backed by the Western countries, both the side can neither win or make any progress. If you recall, right from the beginning, India has neither condemned Russia nor supported the Western countries. However, the Western countries are fully aware that India has good relations with Russia. And then there is another fact that India does not have leverage with the United States. The way India talks to Russia and the way Russia listens to India, this relationship cannot be replicated with the United States. And if you look at this whole Ukraine war, why do you think it even started in the first place? It happened only to secure the future of European security architecture. What is European security architecture? It is NATO, European Union, OSCE, Council of Europe, various bilateral and multilateral treaties, and other European partnerships and cooperation initiatives. To secure the future of this entire European security landscape and reshape its power dynamics, this whole Ukraine war was started. The Western countries realized that they had not achieved their intended outcome. And at the same time, they also don't want to be seen as a losing party. That is why they have hopes of India playing a contributory role in peacemaking. See, at the end of the day, peacemaking in any war situation is nothing but neutralizing the situation so that none of the sides look like a jackass. And there is no unnecessary insult or humiliation to any party involved. The same thing happened with the United States and Taliban in Doha. After the peace deal, the United States withdrew all its forces from Afghanistan and the Taliban had a brand makeover. From being a globally designated terrorist group, the Taliban had rebranded itself as the governing authority in Afghanistan. So this is what the actual meaning of peacemaking is. So the first point is, Western countries are closely observing India's role as a peace broker. And the second thing the Western countries are observing is, what India and Russia are going to export and import. India is going to import coking coal from Russia for steel production. As you may know, Russia is heavily reliant on fossil fuels, particularly coal, for its economy and energy production. Before this Russia-Ukraine conflict, coal and natural gas served as a significant instrument in Russia's geopolitical strategy, as the country exported it to Europe. This not only generated revenue for Russia, but also allowed Russia to leverage its coal exports as a meaning of exerting pressure on European nations. But then in April 2022, the European Union imposed a ban on imports of Russian coal. As of today, Europe does not import coal from Russia. So India is going to seek some discount on coal imports from Russia. And if you remember last year in September, Russian companies stopped offering discounts to India on fertilizers. Even this issue was discussed by the Indian Foreign Minister. You have to understand that without a discount, India's fertilizer input cost will increase. And then the Lok Sabha election is scheduled to take place in 2024. If the central government in India wants to remain in power, then they have no choice but to increase subsidies to protect farmers. And as you know, there is a good friendship between Narendra Modi and Vladimir Putin. So if India's Foreign Minister S. Jaishankar requests a slight discount on fertilizer imports from the Russian government, and if the Indian government passes on the benefits of this import discount to the farmers just before the upcoming elections, then it will have an impact for the BJP government. Similarly, this geopolitical maneuvering can be observed from the opposite side as well. Big exporting countries keep an eye on the election dates of their client nations. They sometimes tweak prices or remove discounts just before elections, expecting the buying country to ask for more benefits back. This creates a chance for the exporting country to bring up its requests and get them fulfilled in return. Then India and Russia has also signed agreements on the construction of nuclear power plants in India. India has signed some very important agreements regarding the construction of future units of the Kudankulam nuclear project. The Kudankulam nuclear plant is being built in Tamil Nadu with the technical assistance of Russia. The construction began in March 2002. Since February 2016, the first power unit of the Kudankulam nuclear power plant has been steadily operating at its design capacity of 1000 MW. The plant is expected to start operating at full capacity in 2027. So if you see any potential collaboration between Russia and India on the construction of a nuclear power plant could indeed raise concerns for the West. And they view this collaboration with skepticism because construction of a nuclear power plant involves the transfer of technology and expertise. So there is a concern for the West that Russia might gain strategic influence in the region through its involvement in India's critical infrastructure. Even Bangladesh got its first uranium shipment from Russia last year in October. Bangladesh is building its first of two nuclear power plants in collaboration with Russian state-owned atomic company Rosatom. 90% of the project is being financed through a Russian loan repayable within 28 years with a 10-year grace period. So this is a concern for the West that Russia might gain strategic influence in the region. Then you must have also heard that India's crude oil imports from Russia in November were the costliest, because Russia stopped giving discounts on fuel and fuel got expensive. As a result, India's Russian oil imports declined to 11-month low in December 2023. Again, this is also majorly due to the upcoming elections. So even this was discussed by the Indian Foreign Minister during his visit to Russia. If you remember last year in November, Iran has finalized arrangements for the delivery of Russian-made Sukhoi 35 fighter jets and helicopters. Couple of days back, you must have heard in the news that Houthi rebels in Yemen, they are attacking ships and maritime infrastructure in the Red Sea. And then the Indian Navy rescued a commercial ship in Arabian Sea, which had Indian crew on board. Since then, the Indian Navy has increased its aerial surveillance near the Red Sea, Gulf of Aden, and Central and North Arabian Sea. Because any kind of disruption of shipping lanes through Red Sea is a huge concern for India. Because Indian ships carry goods along this route to Europe, East Africa and the Middle East. And everyone knows that Houthi rebels are proxy forces of Iran. I'm not saying that these proxy forces, or you can say pirates, have the capability of destroying a commercial ship. You know what their primary goal is? Their primary goal is to create a geopolitical issue in this region, so that there is not only a delay in transportation, automatically the international insurance premium of the goods that is being carried through this route will also increase, and this cost will be added in the final export and import bill. Now just imagine if Iran gets Su-35 fighter jets from Russia, Su-35 would increase Iran's air combat capabilities. So at some point, there might be a possibility of a face-to-face confrontation between the Indian Air Force or Navy fighter jets with those of the Iranian Air Force. And the reason Iranian proxy forces are attempting to disrupt Red Sea shipping lane is because they don't want any country to use this route for doing trade with Israel. I'm not saying that Iran doesn't want anyone to use this shipping lane. I'm not saying that. I'm saying any ship that is supplying goods to Israeli ports, the Houthi rebels are attacking only those ships. And if you all know, India has significant investments in Israeli port of Haifa. Adani Group has 70% stake in the Haifa port. So economic relationship between India and Israel is something that is not in Iran's geopolitical interest. And this entire game was also discussed by the Indian Foreign Minister S. Jaishankar on his visit to Russia. I am not saying that geopolitical tensions have started between India and Iran. India and Iran are not enemies. India has significant investments in Iran, especially if we talk about the INSTC corridor, where Russia is also involved. However, it is important to understand that India also has a strong and good relations with Israel. But then we all know that there is no diplomatic alignment between Iran and Israel. They are trying everything to destroy each other. So Iran might be somewhat upset with India because of India's support for Israel. And then recently, Indian Marine Commandos were involved in a situation with Iran's proxy forces, the Houthis. Now this happened after Indian foreign ministers returned from Russia. Russia being a key player can help in making Iran understand India's policies. We need to wait and watch what Russia's role will translate into. But one thing we must acknowledge is that there is a significant possibility of a new conflict emerging in the Red Sea, Arabian Sea region. This area serves as a major choke point for international maritime trade. Furthermore, the Houthi insurgency in Yemen is at a critical juncture. Following that, there is a rapid escalation of ideological and geopolitical disagreements between Iran and Israel, which is quickly spreading in this entire region. Now, taking another perspective into account, it is known that Iran and Israel share a fierce animosity. Iran strongly dislikes Israel, and Iran is the only country which openly threatens to destroy Israel. In a way, if you see, Iran can teach a lesson to other nations if it creates some trouble in the Red Sea. In today's world, economic losses are the biggest setbacks for any country. If Iran can control and disrupt maritime trade of Red Sea, it can cause significant problems for every nation and its people. So, in a way, this could be an open challenge from Iran to those countries that support Israel, whether diplomatically or economically. I hope you found this video informative. Thank you for watching it.